We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So we started a series very recently called Christmas, It's Complicated. And we've been hearing about how complicated this whole Christmas ordeal is and just how we sometimes fantasize the story of the nativity, but then really it can be quite a tumultuous time, a very difficult time, especially when you consider those who were actually directly involved within this time. And my message today, it's focusing on some characters who I don't normally think of when I think of the Christmas story, when I think of the nativity. As a matter of fact, the only time I normally see them is when the nativities are going on and they're just staring at their parents, right? And who I'm going to be talking about today is about the shepherds in the Christmas nativity story. And my title for this message is A Complicated Mission. A Complicated Mission. So we were hearing before around, you know, how difficult it must have been for Mary to be carrying this child and what difficult of a complicated birth it was going to be and how complicated it was as news. But then there's also some complication which is also there when it comes to the shepherds within the nativity story. So I'm just going to read some scripture before we start. And I'm just going to start here. It says Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And this is kind of where I was going to start, shall I say. And it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. And there were shepherds. And that got me thinking that, you know what, okay, I can't start sharing the word on the word and, because clearly that means there's something that must have happened beforehand that we need to touch on. You know, I tried to trace it back and I was like, you know what, let's start all the way from the start of Luke chapter 2. So I'm just going to read, if you will, with me. And it says this, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee of Judea to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And they gave birth to a firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And then that's when we get onto verse 8. And it says, and there were shepherds. And the reason why this is so peculiar to me is normally when you use the word and, it normally means that there's something of similar magnitude that's happening at the same time, right? So as an example, if somebody, if my wife came to me and said, Phil, we've won the lottery, I don't expect her to then say, and you need to take the bin out. You know, it doesn't relate because of the magnitude of, wait, we just won the lottery. And with this particular verse, the verse just before it says, you know what, the baby, and she gave birth to the firstborn son. She wrapped him in his clothes. So in other words, the savior of the world has been born. And, you know, this is such great news. And yet the word of God also then places this next thing, which is that, and they were shepherds. Almost completely unrelated. And so it started to make me think, you know, why would you include this little bit about shepherds within the Christmas story? And the interesting thing is, if we look across everyone who's involved in the nativity, we are most likely going to be like the shepherds. If we look at the people involved, okay, so there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? Okay, great, great responsibility upon her shoulders. There's Jesus himself, the mighty Messiah. There's the kings or the Magi. You know, these guys were able to be in the presence of King Herod. These are all mighty people, all people who have a great calling on their life. And then there's the shepherds. And in that time, the shepherds, if anything, they were the most lowly people. They couldn't get the audience of King Herod like the wise men did. They didn't have a great responsibility like Mary had to be able to carry the Savior of the world. And they weren't the angels either, right, who were sharing this message. So it's like the shepherds, no, God, what's the significance of bringing in shepherds in such an amazing story of the birth of Jesus Christ? And this is where I started to see myself, ourselves, us here today within the Christian story, in that, you know what, although without title, without great responsibility, God still included us within this story of such a complicated mission. But let's go into why this is a complicated mission. So again, following on from us describing that there's shepherds, in verse 9 in Luke chapter 2, it reads, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that I will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.'" You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. So that my point today around getting some of these valuable principles around the complicated mission is that our mission will come suddenly. It will come suddenly. The shepherds, we are told in this story, that they were doing what they would have done any other day as shepherds do. They were looking after their flock in the middle of the night, probably making sure that nothing comes to them and takes their sheep away from them. To them, it was a perfectly normal night. Nothing to be astounded by. And then all of a sudden, they see an angel of God come to them and give them such a message about Jesus Christ, the Savior. All of a sudden, this come and say, you know what? You're going to find this child wrapped up and you're going to find them in a manger. And all of a sudden, their whole mission or their whole day has been completely shifted and twisted and turned based on the word that they've now received. So he continues to read. So one of the things that we must receive, at least from this thing, is that we need to be a people who expect the unexpected, right? We need to be able to expect when we are in our walk with God that actually things won't be always how we expect them to be. Yes, we must go on with our day and do what we must. And, you know, as shepherds doing their shepherd thing, they were doing what they were doing. And in that place of them doing what they are supposed to be doing, God met them right there. And we see this time and time again in scripture. Like if I just recall a couple of points, if we think of David, when he was sent by his father Jesse, when Goliath was busy parading around with the Philistines, he was just going there to deliver bread. As far as he was concerned, his mission at that point was, you know what, I'm going to deliver bread to my brothers. And then now all of a sudden, God placed upon him, clearly urged him to be able to take on a great battle that is Goliath. And in that moment, he completed an assignment. Moses, the same thing, as he was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years after he had committed the murder, all of a sudden, the burning bush was there present. And again, in a moment, although it was a perfectly normal day, whole trajectory was completely shifted and changed. Paul, likewise, him being struck off a horse and Jesus saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" completely changed his day, even though he was adamant to continue persecuting the church. But all because of these little moments in time where Jesus intervenes within our affairs, all of a sudden our life's trajectory is changed and we receive a new mission which is according to his purposes. And this is it, right? We as we walk in faith, the thing we must always look to say, you know what, God, what is it actually that you're willing to do with me today? Not to deviate from what you're doing. Yes, you've already got your job. Some of us, you know, if we're cleaning the house, we could be cleaning the house. We could be fixing our cars. We could be working. We could be going to school. But then at times it's being sensitive to the voice of God to say, God, what do you want me to do in this very specific moment? What are you giving me? What is the assignment in this time as an unexpected moment in time? Now, for me, I can understand why the shepherds were terrified. I can understand it because As far as I'm concerned, I expect on Monday to be going back to work and doing my day job, right? And likewise with the shepherds, if they just see heavens open up and heaven's host is there and things have shifted and moved, it can be quite a terrifying experience. But the comfort for me comes actually a little bit further down, whereby, and my second point is this, your mission will be with others. Your mission will be with others. God is so amazing that when he places his desires, his will in our hearts and things that he wants us to do, he often also places that same desire, that same direction on someone else within our vicinity, on someone else who we can also relate with. So reading in Luke 2, 15, 16, it says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in a manger. The beautiful thing about this is the fact that, you know, when the angel spoke to the shepherd, we know it's more than one because he calls them shepherds, right? So when God is now calling us to assignments, when God is calling us to act out in his will and according to his desires, we'll find that God will also orchestrate others to be also part of the same call that God is calling us to. And God is so amazing that he will never leave us with a great burden, so much so that there is no one else to support us. In scriptures, again, we see, again, there's so many examples. So, for example, with the disciples in and of themselves, they had each other. The disciples had each other. Paul had Barnabas and Timothy. Noah had his sons and the rest of his family. Nehemiah had the help of the king. And sometimes all we need to do is actually to call on God to say, you know what, God, I accept the mission you're giving me. God, I accept what you're telling me to do. But also, God, would you send others my way who will help me fulfill what you have for me to do? God, would you send others away so that then, you know what, the desire that you're putting and burdening on my heart will be fulfilled, not just by our own works. Because quite frankly, there's no superheroes when it comes to ministry, when it comes to doing the work of God. We are all one body, you know, one body in Christ, all with different gifts, different abilities to be able to assist us, to be able to fulfill that of which God is willing for us to do. And here's this, right? So we may be asking ourselves, okay, so why? Why should I be doing this mission? Why should I be going around, you know, doing it? And the point is this, your mission will bless others. Your mission will bless others. Luke 2:17 reads, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. All who had heard the shepherds' story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered about them often. The amazing thing about this whole story is that when we look at the shepherds again, it looks completely displaced. Why talk about shepherds? But then here we start to see the purpose behind why the Lord spoke to the shepherds through the angels. That as a matter of fact, just by them accepting the responsibility to go ahead and speak to and go to meet with this baby, they actually had an impact on Mary. We've already heard about how complicated of a situation it was for Mary. I can't even start to imagine the turmoil that she was going through. But then now all of a sudden, because of some lowly people in society, these shepherds, they came over, and the message, you know, the Bible doesn't explicitly say what they said, but then clearly it's had an effect on Mary in that now she constantly would think about that of which that she heard from the shepherds. And this is it, right? So the mission that God will continue to give us is not for the benefit of ourselves. It will actually be there to benefit others. And this is where we start to see almost this domino effect, this almost effect of, you know, when one person blesses one person, the next person is blessed, the next person is blessed, so on and so forth. So, I mean, like, if we look at it from the perspective of the shepherds, in an encounter with God, they encountered the angel. They received some incredible news, and they went on mission with this news, and then they went on to bless Mary with that news. Now, I don't know about you, but my my walk in the faith, I can't say it's all down to one person that I find myself here today. It has been multitudes of people that God has orchestrated at different points in time to, either through action, either through word, either through, I don't know what it may be, but then today I am a culmination of different people blessing me in different ways in which God has orchestrated people to actually come in my life and to do. And I guess the point is that the shame that may come, or that's probably not the right word, but this English is forsaking me, huh? You know, but the penalty, or should not the penalty, okay, I'll explain it, and then you insert the right word for yourself, okay? The thing about us not fulfilling what God is wanting us to do, the assignment, that temporary thing that God wants us to do, is that the next person who is then supposed to get impacted doesn't then get impacted, right? So imagine in the case of Mary, if the shepherds hadn't come to Mary, then maybe the turmoil that she was feeling may not have been alleviated. You know, all of a sudden, if you think of every great preacher, every great worship leader, or anybody who is in the ministry, there was someone before them who had to impact them for them to become what they became. So again, what we then forfeit by not accepting God's call, accepting God's assignment, is exactly that. It's that domino effect of saying, you know what, because we didn't impact this generation, because we didn't impact this person, they didn't go ahead and then continue to flow in that same impact that God is calling us to do. And here's this, right? And this is the amazing part. My point number four is that your mission will bring you joy. Your mission will bring you joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 2 and 20. It says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So 2 points here. One is that these guys went back to their responsibilities, glorifying God. The thing about us fulfilling God's call on our lives, for us actually doing what the assignment that God puts on us, is that there is a fulfillment that can only come through us fulfilling what God is calling us to do. There is an encouragement that comes in our spirit and in our faith, which only comes when we commit the assignment of God and complete it. And this is also the amazing part, right? I hope what I've been able to share is to make it clear that when I say mission, it's not a lifelong quest. It's not a lifelong responsibility. It's not to say, oh, because God spoke to you, that means you must wake up tomorrow and be a pastor for the rest of your life. No, I'm talking about God using us where we are, very specific moments in time, to have an impact which then has generational impact later on. One of my great passions right now is, it has been interesting to see what has been happening within our times, in our generation. For the first time since history began, there's been less than people, when they do a survey, it's been the first time that less than 50% of people have said that they are Christians, right? To me, it kind of is a wake-up call, especially for us as Christians, to say, you know what, God, what is happening in our society whereby the voice of the Christian is being minimized? You know, and I ask myself, you know, God, how do we come to a place whereby, you know, our society is influenced and impacted by the Bible and impacted by the Word of God? Well, to me, it comes from us as individuals accepting individual assignments at single moments. See, it's not necessarily about making impact within the four walls of the church. Well, actually, it's about listening to the assignment of God where we are in our own society, in your sphere, in your circle. Imagine if some of us, you know, where had relationships with teachers all of a sudden. And then now when they're battling to understand, what do I teach these children? And we're able to influence them. Now all of a sudden our society takes a different trajectory to the person who speaks to our children on a daily basis. Imagine if we were in positions and we have influence those people who are in government and making policy. All of a sudden, the rules which are almost seeming to clamp down on the spreading of the gospel, all of a sudden will be relieved because we have had that influence and that impact through us speaking directly to the people who are actually able to then make the impact. But that doesn't come from us speaking to ourselves within these four walls, but it comes from us being able to influence the world around us in the societies that we are at. So in conclusion, In this time for Christmas, are you expectant? Okay, and I know we're expecting for gifts. I haven't started. But are you expectant for God to give us an assignment, to give us a mission which will bless someone else, which will change the trajectory, which will mean that somebody else's future will be completely transformed and us being the vessel that is used by God? Are we ready for such a time whereby we're able to say, you know what, God, I can put my hand up and say, you know, when you come unexpectedly, when you change my plan, when you change what I'm doing in a moment, that I will accept and I will go forward and I will actually make the difference that you're calling me to make, and leaving the results to God? Because quite frankly, when I read this story, I don't even think the shepherds understood what they had done for Mary in that time. I don't think they knew. For them, it was they were celebrating. We saw an angel. I mean, like, I don't know if I want to see an angel. That might be a bit too terrifying. But you know, it's. I think for them, they were rejoicing, saying, you know, we've been used by God. But lo and behold, in the story of the Savior, the King of all kings being born, we also have the story of shepherds being involved within that whole narrative. We don't know how long Mary would constantly think of the words that the shepherds spoke to them. That changed her whole future ahead as she was raising this child. And I guess the question is this, is that also, have we been waiting for a long time? You know, those things that God has been placing on our hearts and we've been pushing it aside and we've been saying, you know, we'll wait up until the next time. Maybe it's time for you to say, you know what, God, I know what you're putting on my heart, but you know, I'm going to actually go for it and leave the result to you. Is it maybe the time whereby we actually say, you know what, God, the assignment that you have for me, specifically for you, that I accept this responsibility and this change? Hey, maybe for some of us, it's good news that we are to share to someone. Good news to say, you know what, the Savior of the world has been born. That He came for us individually, that He came for us to change our lives completely, that He will save us and that we no longer have to live in our sin. That, you know what, we have been saved by amazing grace, this greatest gift of all. Maybe our assignment this morning is able to share just good news. Say, you know what, actually, it's not as bad as it seems. That actually, there is a future, that there is a greater glory compared to the day of today. And creation just awaits for us the sons of God, to be able to come into that place where we actually start to move within the purposes of God, where we start to move within the will of God and have the impact that God is calling us to have. So Lord, I pray this morning that just like the shepherds, oh God, that Lord, the shepherds who in society, in different circles, don't seem like much. God, we may think of ourselves as not much this morning, but God, you saw the shepherds as being great. You saw them as useful in the story of raising of the Son of Jesus through His mother Mary. Father, I pray, Almighty God, that Lord, may we also identify as the shepherds have done and accept the mission that you're putting on us, the assignment that you're putting on us, God. So that, God, we are able then to share a word with someone, to be able to share conduct with someone which changes their trajectory completely, oh God. That, Lord, that there will be a domino effect, oh Lord Jesus. Father, which just sees blessings on blessings on blessings, God. Father, pouring out because of different ones accepting the call of God. And Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that Father, those ones that you are calling for us to partner in the missions that you're calling us to, God, may they come forth. Lord, may we build those relationships, God, Father, which allow us to fulfill your mission, to fulfill your call upon our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for us to be soft in heart, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, when the unexpected interruption comes, that, Lord, that we don't turn to the side, but, God, we accept it with open arms, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we receive the joy of being able to fulfill the purpose that you've given in that specific moment in time, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that, Lord, would you burden us, Lord Jesus, Lord, with responsibility to be able to impact this nation, Lord Jesus, Lord, this region. God, I pray, Almighty God, that, Lord, we will be an impactful people, that, God, will be a people who accept assignment, that, God, will be a people that accept mission, God, and, Father, just leave the results to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that even in this Christmas time, Lord Jesus, Lord, for many it's a joyous time, but God, for many it's a difficult time, Lord Jesus. But Father, I pray that, especially for those that need encouragement, God, that Father, that they find joy in knowing that they are in you, and God, that you are in them, and that God, even as we fulfill your call upon our lives, that there is no greater satisfaction. That God, joy comes through, oh God, Father, doing your will, and joy comes through, oh God, following your purposes. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon. We'll be right back.